Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Michael Seifert joins us to talk about how Walmart has gone woke. And we have Mike Huckabee to talk about his new program. And are they going to try to pull Joe Biden? Is it time to pull Joe Biden? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk. Vivek Ramaswamy. Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
We are major fans of Public Square. You all should download the Public Square app. And joining us now is a friend and a great entrepreneur who is the man behind Public Square, Michael Seifert. Michael, welcome back to the program.
Good to see you, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into the topics we have, how are things going? Give our audience an update. The America's Marketplace. Tell us all about it.
Well, the same traction you've seen in the political world of folks saying enough is enough. I'm tired of the regime that is destroying my life, making it harder to operate and thrive and function healthily, economically. I'm done. I unsubscribe from the corrupt system. You're seeing that happen time and time again in politics, in culture. People are done with it. They've had it. They're frustrated with the woke culture and the progressive ideology being indoctrinated to us and shoved down our throats. And they are actually, my hope and prayer is, taking that energy to the polls and to the ballot box this November. You're seeing that same energy in this parallel economy as well. There are folks that have been so frustrated by institutional corporate America for far too long, selling our jobs overseas, mocking Americans while they do it with progressive social causes, taking our hard-earned money and turning it into an opportunity to enforce their political agenda. We're done. And what's been amazing, Charlie, is all the folks that feel that sense of frustration at woke corporate America, ESG-driven corporate America, are moving their money, their hard-earned money, to businesses and brands that support this incredible country, the Constitution, and the family values that that document protects. The pro-life, pro-family, and pro-freedom economy is absolutely booming. Our Public Square is a great example of that. Our revenue is up 1,000% from last year. And already in the first quarter of this year, we made more money than we did all of last year, which is a sign that the consumers and merchants in this parallel economy are waking up en masse and they're putting action behind their values. I tell people all the time, Charlie, and I'll finish with this. We have a bright future ahead for our nation. And I know that because if people did not have hope a company like ours could never thrive. But because people have hope still, they're turning their frustration into action. And because of that, millions of customers and tens of thousands of small business, over 80,000 now on our platform in this great country, are experiencing much needed benefit and blessing right now, especially in a time of economic turmoil. So I could not be happier with how things are going. And it's great to be here.
Coming up on Saturday is the beginning of Pride Month. Remember, Pride comes before the fall. And Walmart is going all in on this. They promote Pride merchandise as Target scales back following backlash. You know, you always think of Walmart as being kind of a conservative, owned and operated. Obviously, Walmart doesn't care about families. Walmart doesn't care about children. Let's play cut 46.
Queer people have magic that we can share.
We're lucky enough to be in the Walmart Pride collection this year. Total dream come true.
It's not every day that I see my products in a Walmart. It's important to me to share my art. No one can make the art that you make. No one can say the things the way you say them. There's a lot of opportunity to uplift with a bit of playfulness and imperfection.
The world needs to hear what you have to say and your story.
So help me understand the market of incentives here. The Target, with huge backlash. What is Walmart thinking here? Why are they leaning in on a deeply unpopular fringe agenda? Do they think like, oh, this is just Pride for adults, not for kids? Do they not realize that America is just kind of exhausted with this public celebration of one's private sexual preferences?
Well, the incentive structure that you point out is no longer based upon economics, because if it was, they would have learned from the Target debacle and recognized that they need to change course and change course quickly. Target, after last year's Pride misstep, to say the least, I thought it was a perversion disaster. After Target's massive malfeasance last June, they saw their first quarterly earnings miss, which means for the first time in 6 years, they have missed what analysts thought that they would actually do in sales, and they attributed it to the backlash from the Pride collection in storefronts across this country. The last time Target's missed their quarterly earnings, 6 years ago, before that, was due to the bathroom debacle, when Target decided to take a stand in favor of allowing men inside women's bathrooms. So Target has repeatedly misstepped, and it's resulted in their economic demise. Walmart's taking a note from the same playbook and wants to do the same thing, because for them, it's not about economics anymore. They have a diversity and inclusion officer that runs that company. Not the CEO, not Sam Walton's vision, not proper economics, not the aspiration to serve shareholders, none of that. At the end of the day, their company is run by a set of progressive ideas that are structured almost like a religion, where who cares if you lose profits because of this? You pledged your allegiance to a set of values. And because of that, they believe that they'll be in the good graces of the progressive overlords. That's how these companies are structured today. One more thing I'll note, Charlie, is that if you look back at Sam Walton's career and his original vision, he used to walk through the stores of Walmart for 8 hours a week. He would take a day of his week and he'd walk through the storefront and he would ask customers, what are you looking for? And why did you choose that product instead of this one? And can you tell me a little bit about what you're hoping that Walmart would be able to solve for you today? He was all about learning what was in the best interest of their customers. Today, a few generations pass, that's of no interest to their customer base or to their executive team. You think that the diversity, equity, inclusion officer at the top that's making these decisions for how they market and campaign in alignment with Pride Month has any regard for what middle America consumers that rely on Walmart have to say? Of course not. They don't like this garbage. And it's rather sinister, Charlie, that a brand that rose to prominence, taking over American main streets, pricing out small businesses, offshoring the manufacturing and labor overseas, now lecturing you on progressive politics. It's an absolute disaster. And it really is a state of the state. It's a perfect bellwether for what's happening in our economy. It's not guided by common sense. It's not guided by any sort of economic feasibility or economic wisdom. It is purely another expression of a progressive political agenda that Americans are tired of, and yet it clearly hasn't made its way to the Walmart boardroom yet.
Michael, then shouldn't we have massive class action lawsuits? I mean, this is a violation of the fiduciary duty of Walmart. They have data and they have publicly available information that embracing this nonsense is bad for the bottom line. So they are prioritizing ideological zealotry above their shareholders. Is it time for anyone who owns Walmart stock to sue?
It absolutely is. I encouraged this last year with Target as well. It is absolutely time to band together. And there are a few organizations that are attempting to do this and file class action lawsuits on behalf of shareholders against these companies that have embraced stakeholder capitalism instead of shareholder capitalism. Shareholder capitalism is we do as a business what is in the best interest of our customers and our shareholders. Stakeholder capitalism is what Target and Walmart have embraced, which says we have to factor in these other external stakeholders like the climate or marginalized communities. It's not in the best interest of shareholders. The problem, Charlie, is that Walmart and Target are in the same boat. Their largest shareholders are BlackRock and Vanguard and these other entities that would never lead a charge to push against this progressive ideology being enforced from the top of these corporate boardrooms. So it will take a mass army of retail investors that come together and say, we're done. I encourage lawyers all the time, go out and find these folks because they will serve as plaintiffs immediately when given the opportunity. They just need to know how. So if you're a lawyer on this call that has any background in securities violations or organizing class action lawsuits, know that there's a market there for you.
I totally agree. We need massive lawsuits because you said it best. These are zealots that are running Walmart. And what really ticks me off, they didn't build Walmart. They didn't labor in 24-hour, you know, staying up all night. The story of Sam Walton is a beautiful story. Now, what he has created is this now woke super beast that has destroyed small businesses. And that's a whole nother wrinkle to the Walmart story. But Sam Walton was a true American entrepreneur, a visionary who brought accessible, low-priced goods to millions of people. I have no problem with the Sam Walton story at all whatsoever. He was a true American entrepreneur. But the left, because they don't build anything, they're parasites and they're a bacterial infection on this country. They take over Walmart and they say, oh, okay, we're going to now turn it into Berkeley. Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gain this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. So, Michael, tell us about the poll that you guys are administering or have administered. You guys do this every month. It's very important. And you guys are really in touch with small businesses. Are small businesses telling you the economy is great and super strong? What are they telling you?
They're telling us the opposite, Charlie. In fact, the reason we do this survey, it's called the Freedom Economy Index. The reason we do this every month is because we are daily gaslit from the Biden administration telling us, ignore your eyes, ignore your ears, everything is fine. We wanted to ask our businesses, over 80,000 of them that actually represent Main Street America, are you really fine? Is everything really okay? Are you going through hard times? Every month for the last 10 months, we've sent out this survey to over 80,000 businesses. Thousands of them respond and give their take. We just released the May results. And here's what we have found. We have found from our small business community that 40% of all of our business owners have recently been forced to delay bill payments in order simply to keep their business alive. Over half of our businesses say that they likely will not survive another Biden term. And by the way, this mirrors what was recently released. There was a poll, I believe it was done by Axios, that found that 4 in 10 business owners missed April's rent. They couldn't pay it. And so we are not hearing that everything is fine. In fact, we're hearing even further this sort of indictment on the broader economic environment taking place right now. 64% of our business community strongly believes that the U.S. is actually headed towards stagflation. And as a reminder, stagflation is incredibly dangerous because not only do you have the pain of inflation at incredibly high rates, not seen since the late 70s, you also have that paired with slow economic growth and increasing unemployment. So you pair all of these findings and it paints a very clear picture for you. Our small business community, American Main Street, is very resilient, but they cannot take much more of this. And I hope that these results inform everyone listening and watching right now. Your vote matters. It matters more than just for your own personal well-being or the well-being of your family. America's small business community relies very tangibly on a different economic set of policies over the next 4 years. If that does not happen, we are at risk of losing Main Street holistically. Then you are stuck with the Walmarts and Targets if that happens. We cannot ensure that the lifeblood of America, the small business economy, is left out to dry with another 4 years of Biden.
It feels as if that's the agenda, though. It feels as if they want a disintegration and evaporation of all small businesses. They want an oligarchy. They want you to buy everything from Amazon and from Walmart. And I totally get it. I get that it's easier. I sometimes fall victim to it. Amazon could be there in 2 hours, two buttons. But no, listen, you're not going to have a country. And I don't want to live in a country where you buy everything from four companies. That is not free market capitalism. That is a rigged crony oligarchy. Michael, final thoughts.
2 years ago, I went on a surf trip to Nicaragua. I love to surf. Been surfing since I was a little kid. Central America is an amazing place for surfing. I went on a trip that was paired with sort of a mission trip to Nicaragua. And I walked through a grocery store on the first day and I noticed that everything that you could possibly buy in that grocery store largely was sourced by two or three companies. I asked our tour guide, what's this about? He said, well, those are the only government approved companies to operate in our nation. So all of what we buy now is from a few major select oligarchies that just so happen to have very close ties with the Nicaraguan government. That is our future in the United States, unless we, the people, rise up and recognize that our actions, our vote, not just with our ballot, but also with our dollar, is needed more than ever. You need to channel your vote at the ballot box to politicians that will secure economic freedom for the small business community of our great country. And you need to secure your vote with your wallet for businesses that love this country and this Constitution. If we do not do that, we have very dire economic horizons waiting for us. But if we do, if we rise up and we put our values, our dollars, behind the future we want to see in our great country, I have a lot of hope that we're going to see a really bright American renaissance emerge before us where Main Street thrives and the oligarchies crumble.
Well said. PublicSquare.com. Check it out, everybody. Michael, great work. Thanks so much.
Good to see you, Charlie.
Thank you. I want to remind you to get your tickets at the upcoming People's Convention. It is the best lineup that you can access this summer. The RNC is coming in July in Milwaukee. I'll be there, but it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to get tickets. Very difficult. Not here. People's Convention is open for all patriots, all people, all ages. So check it out right now. tpaction.com/peoples. That is tpaction.com/peoples. Vivek Ramaswamy, Donald Trump, Tulsi Gabbard, Steve Bannon, and more. The People's Convention is 2 weeks from this weekend. tpaction.com/peoples. That is tpaction.com/peoples. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. A movement to change how we elect our president is growing, led by radical left-wing activists who don't think their side should ever have to lose the presidency again. It seeks to do away with the Electoral College as devised by the framers of our Constitution. Today, 18 states have signed on to overhaul how presidents are elected. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College are conducting a national survey on presidential selection. Hearing directly from informed patriots like you is critical. So please take their national survey on presidential selection today at charlieforhillsdale.com. I'm a huge fan of Hillsdale College. Their students are at the top and they're receiving the best educational available today. It's America's greatest college.
Joining us now is a great American,
Governor Mike Huckabee, who has a new program coming up on TBN. Governor, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Charlie, when you were saying you had a great American, I was looking around and I said, gee, I thought I was on. I thought you were introducing somebody else. But thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to get to be with you.
Well, so tell us all about your new show coming up on TBN. How can people find it? I love watching TBN. Now it's a daily show. Is that right?
That's right. I've been doing for 6.5 years, almost seven, show every week on TBN. It runs on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, twice Saturday, again on Sunday, on Newsmax as well on Sunday. And starting Monday, I'll be adding two. It's not going to take away the program that I do, tape it out of Nashville in a theater with a live audience and live music and all sorts of stuff. This is going to be a little different focus, but it's going to be a show every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And it's going to focus with extraordinary newsmaker guests. And we're going to try to give a little more breathing room to our guests in this show. Also commentary of the major issues of the day. What may be a little different in that rather than just simply give a regurgitation of what happened that day in the news, we're going to try to focus a little more on what the big picture means for the folks sitting at home as they sit around their kitchen table. How does this affect them? Why should they care? And then to also do a much more intense job on talking about the big picture, where this takes us as a country, add some common sense solutions to it. So I think it's going to be a very interesting program, 30 minutes a day. It'll be accessible on all TBN outlets, which is everywhere. You can get it not only on every cable service and satellite service, but also on YouTube and Facebook, broadcast channels across the country. So you really have to work hard to miss it if you want to see it.
Well, I'm thrilled for you. I look forward to watching it. And you have a very, very important voice. So it's on all sorts of different platforms. Love TBN as well. So, Governor, I want your reaction. Now, these are now closing arguments for Donald Trump in Manhattan. You've been around for quite some time and you've seen a lot. What is your macro reaction to the idea that a former president who is the opposition party leader, who's ahead in the polls, more popular than ever, is now having to endure lawfare from the opposition regime? We've never lived through anything like this.
No, we really haven't. It's without precedent. The first reaction I have is that Judge Mershon should be disbarred, as should Alvin Bragg. And the second is that Joe Biden and his henchmen should be perp walked across the White House lawn on the way to a federal courthouse for having interfered with an election by sending his third in command at the DOJ to help go prosecute this case. This is an absurdity that I don't think a lot of Americans understand, because maybe they get their news from places like CNN or BSNBC, and they don't understand that what this is the worst instance of election interfering, because it's not just interference by a social media platform or by a TV network or even by a political party. It's election interference by the highest levels of our taxpayer-funded government, who's trying to, instead of defeat their opponent, try to disable him by keeping him in court and coming up with, pardon the pun, trumped up charges to try to destroy the capacity of the next president of the United States to be elected.
And it seems as if it's not working, thankfully, that the decency of the American people is prevailing, that he is more popular and they're becoming more and more desperate. This morning, they threw out Robert De Niro, who was just very nasty. You know what's the tragedy about the De Niro thing? Is that he will now be remembered for being a Trump-hating lunatic, not for his acting. And he's a great actor, objectively. But
objectively a great actor. But today, he should have read somebody else's script, because the one that he read was an embarrassment to him. He sounded like a bitter old curmudgeon, and he acted as if New York was exclusively his city. And I'm thinking, gee, I don't remember any of the landscape of New York City that Robert De Niro helped build. You know, Donald Trump was born there, too, spent his lifetime making it a better place to live and doing extraordinary things, not only commercially, but charitably. And I don't remember seeing a lot of De Niro's fingerprints on extraordinary works of charity or in developing business enterprises that resulted in tens of thousands of jobs being created in New York and a great level of prosperity. But it's clearly that Robert De Niro, like a lot of celebrities, have an intense terminal case of Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Where does he get this whole idea of the possession of New York? As if he controls who's allowed to come into the 12 million people in New York. And he kind of speaks for all New Yorkers and he starts screaming at people and calling them gangsters and F you. And you know, it's just, it really is a tragedy there. But Governor, speaking more broadly, I don't want to be too confident because we're up against a very, very nasty opposition. Politico.com, Dems in full blown freak out over Biden. You are a political expert. You defeated the Clinton Democrat machine in Arkansas, the first to do that. You know the Democrat Party extremely well. Governor, do you think they're going to try to remove Joe Biden?
I do. And I think that they're in this freak out. I don't think that that was an accidental story that came out of Politico. Let's be honest. Politico is not a right wing publication. They lean hard to the left. They're going to try to do what the Democrats will want them to do. And the fact that they published this story tells me that somebody fed it to them and that it wasn't just something that they came up with all by themselves in their editorial room. So here's what it appears is going on. The Democrats are in full-blown panic mode. You see it with James Carville as he's talking about things. We can't even say it on this conversation, but talking about their message being, well, let's just say basically excrement. That would be the kindest way to put it. You have prominent Democrats, even some members of Congress who are now beginning to question some of the policies of the Biden administration because it's hurting them in their congressional districts. But what we are beginning to see, the moving up of the debate into June, that's very unprecedented. Why would they do that before the convention? I'll tell you why. They want to see, can Joe Biden stand on the stage with Donald Trump? The answer is no, he can't. And when it's proven that he can't, then they have good reason to go and sit down with Joe and Jill and say, Joe and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of ballots. Jack fell down and Jill came tumbling down and they were never seen thereafter. That's what I think we're going to see come the end of June. There's no way this party, the Democrat Party, can afford to go forward given the economic disaster that Bidenomics has been versus MAGAnomics, which has been, just look at the comparison. An open border that has resulted in even blue cities turning black and blue from the beatings they're taking because they're not enforcing crime in these big Democrat-run cities. And you have an extraordinary level of foreign policy failures, reminding us that what Bob Gates said about Joe Biden has proven to be true. Joe Biden hadn't made one single foreign policy decision in 50 years that was the right one.
Do not underestimate Joe Biden's ability to, let's just say, mess things up.
That's a very nice euphemistic way to put it, Charlie. You. We both know what Obama said about it.
That's exactly.
But that covers it. Yeah.
So, of course, we're family-friendly TV, both of us here, Governor. I want to play Cut 50.
You know, look, we've seen in the past, Mika, that candidates who are seen as maybe not as strong on the economy ultimately win an election, like, right, say, Barack Obama in 2012. But mm-hmm. to be losing by this margin, that is unsustainable at this point for an incumbent.
And so let's go through the process then. So your hypothesis, which I think is really smart, is that the early debate was like a stress test. Like, Biden, can you do this? And if not, we still have time before Chicago to pull you out. What if Joe Biden resists? What if Joe Biden white knuckles? How does that work with the Democrats, superdelegates? Just help us understand this hypothetical, which is becoming more and more real.
Well, Charlie, I think he will resist. I think he'll be clinging on to it with the very depth of his fingernails, as will Jill. I don't think they will just say, yeah, you know what? You guys are right. It's true. Joe can't get off of a stage without somebody coming up and having to lead him. He can't read through the teleprompter without also reading the stage prompts. He's like Ron Burgundy on Anchorman. He reads whatever is put in front of him. Charlie, I've said the most wonderful political prank in the history of mankind would be if I could find a way to hack into Joe's teleprompter operator and to be able just to put up stuff on the screen as he's reading it, because he would read whatever is on that screen, no matter how ridiculous it might sound.
It would be comical.
It would be, but then again, it would also, in all fairness, it would be tragic, because we have a president who really doesn't know what he's saying, what he's doing, and he's being led and run by people who hate Israel, who really hate our borders, who hate the freedom of this country. They think we're all a bunch of racists. They think the country got its land by stealing every bit of it, and that we're an evil bunch of people. And, you know, when you think like that, you shouldn't be in charge of a country you can't stand.
Boy, is that true. And that's what's so remarkable, is that their political movement is the first of its kind which seeks to obtain permanent control of a country they hate. Typically, I mean, even the Russian Revolution, they loved Russia. They just had a different vision. These guys hate the country they want to control. Governor, do you have a comment on that? A political force that wants to obtain permanent control of a country they hate.
Well, it's unlike anything we've ever seen in human history. As you mentioned before, even in the Russian Revolution, you had people that thought that they just had a better vision of Russia. What we have in America is people who fundamentally think the country is flawed from its inception. They hate the Constitution. They hate the level of freedom that it guarantees. They hate the fact that the limits of the Constitution were those that put the limits on government, not the people. Most people have never even read it. And even people get elected to Congress appear not to have read it. If they read the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, here's what they discover. Every single right that is listed in the Bill of Rights tells government what it cannot do to the people. It never says anything about what the people can't do. It guarantees their freedoms and it restricts the government. We have people that want to restrict the people and give the government unlimited power and freedom to do whatever they want to the people who disagree with it. That is a real disturbing trend.
So looking ahead here, Governor, I know this is awfully speculative, but it feels as if they keep Joe Biden, there has to be some asymmetric warfare that is deployed. And what we saw it in 2020 with mass mail-in ballots. We saw it with the Hunter Biden laptop. I know this is a little bit of an unfair question, but let me ask it this way. What should we be on the lookout for? I mean, again, you know these Democrat dirty tricks really well. A lot of what they've done, they workshopped in Arkansas before you ran them out of that state. What should we be on the lookout for?
Well, I do think that the issue of ballot security is critical. Will they try once again to use just masses of mail-in ballots that have no accountability whatsoever as to their authenticity? I think the answer to that is yes. Will they try to extend the time in which people can vote, as they did in Pennsylvania, which was absolutely unconstitutional according to the Pennsylvania Constitution, but they did it and they got away with it. And when people said, there's no evidence of election fraud, well, there wasn't much evidence that courts would allow, but it didn't mean there wasn't evidence. It just was evidence that somebody said, you don't have standing, or we don't consider it valid because we're in COVID. A whole lot of things that got excused that shouldn't have been. And Republicans need to be lawyered up heavily, not because we want to cheat the election. We just want a fair one. That's it. I think that's all Republicans want, is an election in which everyone who is qualified to vote, eligible to vote, gets to vote, but they only get one vote. And people who aren't eligible and qualified, illegals, for example, people who are convicted felons, are dead people, they should not be allowed to vote. I mean, I don't know why that's so complicated. And having a voter ID to verify who's who, and is this person really the person voting, that should not be something that is even controversial. But when Democrats think it is, there's your answer right there. You only want to cheat when somebody has sort of turn the lights on. And I love to say, just remember, when you turn on the lights, the rats and roaches start to run.
That is exactly right. In closing here, your daughter is in the running to become vice president. I think that's a great potential selection. Your daughter is an excellent leader and just does a wonderful job. If it is not your daughter, what should Donald Trump look for in a vice president?
Well, I mean, I think what she's got to do is, you know, primarily focus upon her job. That's what she wants to do. But you know, quite frankly, Charlie, I think that there's a host of people. We've got a number of people in Congress, whether it's Elise Stefanik, maybe former Congressman Lee Zeldin, Byron Donalds. There are a number of people that he could pick that would be excellent running mates. Nobody's going to overshadow him. I think that's one thing we can certainly be absolutely clear on. But he needs somebody who is compatible. And quite frankly, he needs somebody who will be loyal to the cause. When I say loyal to the cause, I mean, they really need to believe in their heart of hearts in an America first resolve, an America first policy. I don't want somebody who wants the job. I want somebody whom the job wants. You know, I've always said everybody will say, oh, I don't want to be vice president. The truth is, no one ever claims they want to be vice president, but nobody ever turns it down. That's just the way it works.
That's right. But
whoever
that's exactly
he picks,
right.
I want him to pick someone who is looking after America's interest and they're not looking to what it's going to mean for their political future. I want them to think about what it's going to mean to the American citizen's future.
Governor Huckabee, thank you so much. Check out your new show, Huckabee Live on TBN. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.